Know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, I'm going to preach tonight on wolves. I'll preach on wolves in the church. I hadn't preached this for a long time. God, for some reason, has been plaguing me all week to preach on wolves and wolves in the church. And for some reason, God wants it done here. Now, you'll see me do something tonight you probably never see me do again before, and that's preach from notes and outlines. Nothing wrong with that. I just, not my style. But because so many things here and I can't remember, I've had to write them all down. And so I'll preach from what I read here tonight. About 3 years ago, God woke me up in the night and told me to study wolves. And so I thought, you know, it'll be an hour or so study, and God wants me to preach it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And how little did I know that it's going to take me months to find out all that I needed to know about the wolves. I began to search my library, a very small library, but I searched my library, nothing on wolves. Told me what a wolf was, said it's not a wolf, it's a jackal. So I knew right away they didn't know what they was talking about. The Bible said wolves means wolves. And so I searched in other men's libraries, nothing on wolves. And I began to search then in the libraries. And lo and behold, I began to come up with material, not anything in religious literature on these wolves, but in the libraries. And God knew that somebody needed to study wolves and to preach it. And I spent a lot of time studying the wolf and went in Indiana to Battleground, Indiana, to where they had wolves, captured wolves in a semi-natural habitat, and spent time there with those wolves, watching, studying, letting those people teach me about wolves. I've been in different places to zoos and studied wolves, and God opened up some opportunities for me to study wolves. If God guides, as the saying goes, He'll provide. And I went to, in Indiana, to the Battleground, Indiana, to study in the wolf park. And I wanted to hear the wolves howl. And to hear the wolf pack howl. And she said, "We're sorry, the wolves don't howl in the daytime here." And so I knew God had wanted me to hear. She said, "If you hear the wolves howl, you wait till Sunday afternoon late. And then," she said, "the wolves will howl." So God knew it. I didn't have time to stay around on Sunday and had to go preach anyhow. And while we were walking from one drove or herd of wolves, pack of wolves, to another, she suddenly stopped and said, "What in the world?" Well, all of a sudden, every wolf in that pack and every coyote on the grounds began to howl. And she said, "That's very unusual." I got my tape recorder and held it up real high, and I got it on tape. God knew. He told me to study wolves, knowing I wanted to hear them howl. And God told them wolves to howl a little. And so they howled. And God let me study wolves. I understand a whole lot about them. And I thought, you know, there's not very many around in the church. Now, if Paul knew what he was talking about, if Paul the Apostle knew, if he is really under the inspiration, speaking and writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he knew that there'd be wolves in our midst. And I've got to find them under every leaf. And I've never been in a church since I've studied these wolves but what I saw. Wolves in the church. If the Word of God, if really it's right, I've never been in the church. Now, I saw some, and I'd tell the preacher, I'd say, "Well, that fella meets the criteria of a wolf." And he'd say, "No, that's one of the best I've got." But later on, by phone call or by letter, he'd say, "You're right. Exactly right. It's a wolf." Now, in the Word of God, I'll try my best to bring you what God, and this is hard for me to preach from notes and outlines and preach on this subject and be very spiritual. But if you understand, if you have been in the church very long, you'll know that what I'm preaching to you tonight is absolute truth. Now, in the King James Bible, the only real Bible, the word wolf is mentioned some 13 times. And if it had been just mentioned once, that would mean it's important. But God mentioned the word wolf 13 times. Now, there's three adjectives used in talking about wolves. Number one, he talked about ravening wolves. And that word ravening means that they're ferocious and take by force. Let me read you what Webster says. To take by force, to consume greedily, devour, to seek or seize prey or plunder, extremely hungry, greedy for gratification. And the word ravening and raven is also in there. They're hungry to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. You say, well, that don't sound like a wolf. It'll sound more like a wolf after a while. And then the evening wolves, that's another adjective used to describe wolves in the Bible. Now, wolves not too much to hunt in the morning time. Wolves are not too much to go forth. Thank you. To go forth in the morning time to do their business of going out and getting game in the morning, but usually operate in the evening or at night. And that's why it's always easier to have a day service, a spiritual day service, than it is to have a spiritual night service. Most of them wolves are up there in the bed asleep in the daytime. And at night they begin to come out and stretch and howl. And to go seek prey. Now, ain't it right that you can have a day service, or better, easier to have a spiritual day service than it is to have a spiritual night service? And then grievous wolves. And that word grievous means to cause grief and inflict pain. Now, if there's wolves in your church, that's exactly what they're doing. Now, the voice, now I want you to get this, and I did not get this, any of this, out of a religious library. Nothing's been written, just a little bit on teaching the types and from the types and the metaphors. And I can't think of the man's name that wrote that, some of you fellas know. But one of them fellas said, the voice of a bleating sheep never harmonizes with the howl of a wolf. I'll let you think on some of these a little while. If you've got a wolf in your church, they'll usually want to sing in the choir, but they can't sing. I mean, they cannot harmonize with the sheep. And they usually they'll not want to sing a song that's got four-part harmony and three-quarter or four-quarter time. They'll want something that's got an odd, bouncy time, and they love contemporary junk better than they love the real old-time singing. They're more interested in something that'll move your feet instead of something that'll move your heart. And they always rather sing something that was wrote by some whore in Nashville than they would have sang something that is written by an old saint of God that got stirred down yonder one day in the woods and God got a hold of their heart. Amen and amen. Now you say, preacher, what do you do with wolves? You can't make a sheep out of a wolf. And you say, preacher, what do you do with them? I asked the old wolf fighters, what do you do? Said, kill them. Amen. Said, you know, you should try to tame them. You can't tame them. And I'll have a little more about that, trying to tame wolves. And God helping me, I'm writing on this all the time. And God will help me. I'll put a whole lot of it, a whole lot that I'm not saying tonight in book form. And if anybody's interested, well, we'll talk about that. Wolves work for themselves. Always, and for their own bellies. Now, they'll group and pack in order to get food. But they're never working for anybody else. They'll fight their own children, their own pack over food. And they'll never, but they'll use that pack to gain their purpose. But always remember, they didn't come to help you. They're working for themselves. Now, you preachers especially better get every bit of this tonight. It'll be a help to you in days to come. Wolves will howl to scare. I said, they howl, they'll talk, and sometimes raise their voice. They'd like for everybody to be afraid of them.
and the wolf howls to let all of his own crowd know where he's at, and to announce himself that the wolf's on the scene, and he thinks he's the head of everything he runs up against. Now, I want you to get this, preachers and lay members. A wolf cannot howl if he can't raise his head. Now, you preachers, hear me tonight. If you keep his head preached down, you've got him. But if you ever let him get to the place where he lifts that sanctified head and gets to looking a little higher and a little above everybody else, he's affecting to destroy some of your flock. But preacher, if you're sharp enough to keep his head preached down, he'll never be able to do anything. Amen. You say, I don't like it. I'm lacking it, and God's men lack it. Amen. I'm just going to let it rest. Now, all the wolves, you remember I said all. You know what that word all means? It means all. All the wolves want to be the leader of the pack. And they'll fight for that position. Male and female. Now, wolves have an order of authority. Chickens have a pecking order. I mean, it's always head chicken. And the cows all have a button order. It's always a head cow. And the wolves have an order. And the scientists have got them all from alpha. There's always an alpha male, and there's always an alpha female. That alpha male and alpha female in the pack governs everything. You say, preacher, what about so-and-so? They govern everything in the pack. Everything. Who eats, who drinks, who hunts, who guards, the everything. The alpha male and the alpha female. If the alpha female don't want any of the other females to raise young'uns, they don't raise young'uns. It's a proven fact. It's that away. And every pack has got an alpha male and an alpha female. And they run on down the line until they get to the omega wolf, and he's usually on the outside of the pack. He just kind of gets what everybody else needs. But he's a wolf. Now, I want you to get this, but there's so much stuff I'll never get it all in. But the scientific classification, and God wanted me to put this in the what I was writing in the preaching, is Canis lupus. That's wolf. That's the gray wolf, the timber wolf, and the red wolf's a little bit different. But every wolf falls into that classification. And God said, I want everybody to get that, because a wolf is a wolf is a wolf is a wolf. Don't make any difference if he's a Pentecostal wolf or a Baptist wolf. Doesn't make any difference if he's got a shirt and necktie on, or if he's a jogging down the road with shorts on, or standing out on the golf course when he ought to be visiting in the hospital. A wolf is a wolf is a wolf. Amen. Now, there's times we talked about of the order of authority. Now, there's times when the alpha female is in charge of the pack. Now, I want you to get this real good. I said there's times when the alpha female is in charge of the pack. But if she is in charge, she'll always let it look like that the alpha male's in charge. And when they're chasing game, she'll let that alpha male run in the front. But you can see that alpha male in the chase, looking back at the alpha female to see if he's running all right and doing all right. Now, I've had wolves in my church, still got them in there. Had wolves in my church, and there's not the boss of the pack, but their wives were. But the wives knew the husband couldn't look good down to church unless he looked like he was running the pack. And he'd get up in the business meeting and make the motions, but I've seen him looking back at her to see if she is okay and what he is talking about. I know it's good. I praise God for giving me this. Thank God it's been the greatest help to me to understand some things about the world. Now, I'll tell you, in that pack is always somebody in charge. And preacher, if you're real smart, you'll preach. Now, I don't think every time I get up that I ought to just preach on everything. I mean, long hair and short dresses and women wearing sacks and all that. But I'm going to tell you what, when you do hit it, you ought to hit it. About one time every 3 months, I take that scorched earth policy and preach on everything God will bring to my mind. And I believe you ought to, too. And if you know who the wolves are in the pack, you ought to call their name and tell them to get right with God. Amen. Now, wolves versus sheep. You put a wolf up the side of the sheep, looks like everybody ought to be able to tell the difference. There they are out there. Looks like everybody ought to, but a lot of preachers can't tell the difference. Number one, their ears are different. Well, yeah, always different. Now, the wolf's ears is tuned for a hurtful cry. Now, you get what I'm saying? And his ears is tuned to where the shepherd is. After a while, they'll come across, if you'll get the tape and look across. Now, the wolf, and I'll get to this probably after a while and skip it, but it's coming to my mind right now. The wolf is afraid of two things, generally. He's afraid of fire, and he's afraid of a man that's not afraid of him. And his ears tuned to where that shepherd is all the time. He's tuned to the other wolves and the howls and the whines of the other wolf to know where they are. I have this picture of a little old lamb feeding. And up on the bank is a big old wolf, a ravening wolf. I mean, big daddy wolf. There's one of them, that alpha wolf, he's daddy wolf. In every one of them groups, you got what we call daddy rabbits, but I'm talking about daddy wolf. In every one of them places, there's a daddy wolf. And here he lays up on the nose. And that little lamb is just grazing around up close to that wolf. And that wolf says to itself, I know that lamb knows I'm here. And normally he'd be scared to death, but for some reason, he's just wagging that little old tail in the grazing and not a bit afraid. And the wolf said, I would grab him, but something's going on here. And he looks back up on the bank, and there stands a shepherd with a caliber 66 shotgun in his hand. He may. He's afraid of a man that's not afraid of him. Preachers, you hear the old man of God tonight. Don't ever, you don't have to be afraid of the world. You've got the ammunition. God's give you what he's afraid of. Pour it on him, amen. Pour it on him. Yes. That lamb's ears tuned to the voice of the shepherd. And tuned to the bleating of the other sheep. Now, all the wolf is interested in the shepherd's voice is to know where he is. But all the comforting thing. Now, all that wolf in the church wants to hear, he likes to hear the bleating of the sheep. He wants to hear a hurt cry, a weak cry from the sheep. And when he does, he'll pounce on them. That wolf's ear is always open to dirty jokes. That wolf's ear always, he'll always love singing better than he loves preaching. Singing don't ever get on him, but preaching always does get on him. But that bleating sheep, that little old sheep, his ears tuned to the voice of the shepherd. He likes good singing, but he's waiting around to hear the shepherd speak to him. From behind the pulpit. Amen and amen. They don't walk the same. You'll find them in the same places. And wolves come to church ought to find out where the sheep are and where they're grazing at. But he also likes to go to all the ball games. Wants to be in on all the hay rides. Amen. You don't ever know where he'll be on Sunday morning. Liable to be in the mountains hunting. They're down on the beach. No, they don't say down on the beach. What do they say? The seashore? Seashore. Yeah. The coast. Yeah, Brother Ronnie said y'all live down here. They're down at the coast. We talk about sinners. They've gone to the beach. Amen. They don't walk the same. I've got to hurry. I'll not get all this done. Their clothing don't match. Well, how about that? Looks like anybody can see the wolf and the sheep. Their clothing don't match. The wolf don't care how he looks. When the sheep roar, when there's something in his wall, he's worried to death. He can't get along, it weights him down, but the wolf don't care what he looks like. Now, when you see that lady out under in shorts, she don't care. More than likely, she's a wolf. Amen. She don't care to dress herself enticingly to men. She's a wolf. Amen. But a sheep wants to do what would please the shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Wolves never attack to make disciples. Now, you better believe that. And don't ever come in your church to help you out and to make disciples for Jesus Christ. They do come in to lead other folk off. Amen. Wolves usually adapt and blend to their surroundings. They'll hide in something that looks like them. Am I talking right or not? I mean, to come into church, and if you like a King James Bible, they like it too. Amen. If you're preaching against television, they'll say, amen. Glory to God. And if you go over to their house, you'll see the closet door about half open where they've heard and they're running in the closet and shut the door so they can pull her back out when the ball game comes on. Amen. Some of you done got your head down. I ain't near half done yet. Wolves love cold regions. They'd rather come into a church. They can thrive better where there's no Holy Spirit. It suits them better. Now, I'll tell you what, boys, you want to keep the wolves away, keep her hot and keep the fire burning. That's one of the things that they can't stand is fire. And they can't stand a man that's not afraid of them. You get up. A man of God standing in the pulpit. Now, I want to tell you this tonight. I know you can get so rough of preaching on sin and get plumb out of gear and preach it in the wrong spirit and use the hatchet and it not be right in the sight of God. But we're not suffering very much from that kind of thing. What we're really suffering from tonight is folks that will not preach against sin. Am I right or not? You don't take care of the world. You build a fire to the house of God. Now, you old heads, there's a lot of folks here that's not children. You didn't get saved yesterday. If you did, that's fine. But I won't tell you, you know what's right. You know what the power of God is. You know what good old time shouting and praising God. You ought to build a fire. I thought tonight, great God, we're already in the second night. I can't understand why somebody ain't shouting when they come on the ground. Great God, we need to build a fire around here to keep the wolves afraid.
Amen.
Amen. I'm doing my best. Amen. With wolves, it has been proven, can read fear and aggression and other emotions in humans and other animals. That wolf's been around nothing, just about reads you when he comes in.
Amen.
Somebody came up to me in my church a while back and said, preacher, I've been thinking about something. He said, we got some people comes in our restaurant and they go to the Church of Christ and they're all people. They're looking for somewhere to go to church and we've invited them to come with us. And they said that they'd probably come, but said they don't have any dresses. And said, now wouldn't it be better for them to come dressed like they are, as come as they are, than it would for them not to come at all? And I said, no. His wife said, I told you. Said, they've got dresses. They can put them on if they want to. They just don't want to. Amen. Might as well just stand for the right from the very first. Amen. They can read you. They come in. They know just about what's going on. Little old wimp of a preacher. They'll try you out and find out exactly what you are. And if the first little old wave runs you off, they'll know they've found a haven. And in they'll come. Now, there's hardly no such thing as a lone wolf. He may come in the first Sunday by himself, but he's looking the territory over, and if he likes it, he'll be back the next day with a whole pack. They can read fear and aggression. Now, they told me at the wolf park, and every week they'll take those wolves in a specially built van down. They got a place where they keep buffalo, bison, in a pen, and they'll turn them wolves loose on them bison. Now, they'll not hurt them. They'll not allow them to do that. But they'll surround those bison and aggravate those bison and howl and carry on and bark at those bison. And it kind of keeps their instinct up, makes them feel better and work better. And they always, when they get ready, they can blow a whistle and get around them and get them back in. But on this particular day, this one wolf would not leave this buffalo. For 20 minutes, they tried to get him away from that buffalo, and they could not get him away. And finally, they just manhandled him, and him trying to back them, and got him in the van, muzzled him, and got him out of there. And absolutely a perfect buffalo, they thought. But about 4, 5, 6 days later, that bison got sick, and the vet said he had pneumonia. And they realized that that wolf could detect something wrong with that buffalo 4 or 5 days before the veterinary could. Now, a real wolf in your church, if you're not careful, will pick out a weak member before you even know they're a weak member. And I'll tell you what they'll do. It won't be long till they'll either be at one another's house. That wolf will have them down to his house, or he'll be up at their house and telling them everything wrong that's going on down at the house of God. And for some reason or other, it's always the man of God in the pulpit that's always at fault. He's picked out a weak member, and he's fixing to take him down and as many of the church as he can. Amen. Wolves live and work only where game is available. They come into your church and you preach a rough message on living right and dressing right and say, bless God, you come around here and try something, I'm going to mow you down. You say, well, I don't like the preacher to get so rough. He may be doing things you don't know anything about. He's a shepherd. He's not some little old wimp boy that God called and said, you tiptoe through the tulips and tell everybody how sweet they are and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Everybody's doing good and dismiss them and go home. No, no, no. God wants his man. Did you know the apostles in the early days, they're not noted for being able to get along with young people? They're not noted for being able to play ball, how good they could shoot deer and how well they could speak, but they're noted for their boldness. Amen. They saw their boldness and then stuck note of them that they'd been with Jesus. If the man of God gets with Jesus, he'll be bold against sin. Either on one side or on the other. I believe you ought to get bold, you ought to get bold, you ought to get bold against sin. At the house of God. My church a while back, I started preaching. I said, almost forgot, Randy. I said, as a shaving this morning, God told me to tell you you're a liar. One of my deacons, one of my better deacons. Hey, man, you say that's awful. No, it's good. He looked at me and his face got red. I said, that's what I said, Brother Randy. God said me to tell you, you're an old liar. And this went on a preaching. You say, what did he do? Got an altar. Hey, man, got it right and told God, said the preacher's preached to me, and that's right. Come hug my neck, so I ain't going to get mad at you, preacher. Tell me the truth. Hey, man. Come in, there's no game available, they'll move out. In any area, any smart world, make the round, and no game available. He sees there ain't no little loose teenage girls around, he'll move out. He sees the preacher's not a wimp, he'll move out. He sees the ladies that don't run the church, he'll move out. He sees the alpha female ain't got a charge of things, he knows he can't get no toehold, and he'll move out. Amen. Amen. Wolves would as soon or a little rather live in another animal's den as to dig their own. Amen. Now they come around where you're at, they just soon take over your den. That's what they like to do. And if they're strong enough, they'll absolutely take over your den. Ever have anybody come around and you knew there's them after the church going to take it over? I've had other preachers in Kentucky, and y'all don't know about Kentucky if you never did pastor up there. But boys, y'all think you're in a mess down here. You're just starting down here. Boys, folks will come in a group intending to join the church and get enough of them that they can have a vote and vote you out and vote their man in. They're wolves. They're wolves. They're wolves. Food is swallowed at the keel and then taken back to the cave or den and vomited up for the, well, regurgitated for all you nice folks. All them wolves that come around the church and the man of God are preaching and folks are shouting. They'll just smile and say hallelujah, and they get back home over the dinner table. They'll puke it all up. Say, did you ever see such a mess? Under God, I'll tell you what. Boys, if I was in charge up there for about 15 minutes, that preacher thinks he's somebody saying this and a blessed God in this and saying he's the man of God ought to be around in things. And said, I was raised up in a church and we all voted on everything.
Uh-huh.
And said, besides that, I don't like old Susie playing the piano. Bless God. Yeah. Did you see her? And she ought to hit a F. She hit a G sharp. And great, they made the awfulest mess you ever heard.
Uh-huh.
You know what they're doing? They're puking it up to the top.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know whether you're lacking this or not, but I'm a lacking. Amen. I know what I'm a preaching to you's truth. Truth. And you better take it home with you. If you don't, one of these days, they'll take you out. Wolves have no enemy except man and fire. I've got that. Wolves' actions are unpredictable. I went to that animal park and she circled us around. That woman, we got back in the backside of that wolf park. And she said, now the coyotes are back here. And she said, I'm going to make them howl. And that woman howled, and I'm going to tell you what little hair I had stood right straight up. And I'm going to tell you the truth, she done a better job than the coyotes. They all answered her. But she sounded more like a coyote than the coyotes did. So I said, when am I going to get to see Mickey? She turned to me and said, what do you know about Mickey? I said, I know all about Mickey. I said, when do I see him? She said, come on, I'll have to show him to you. Mickey had been a wolf that is taken in as a pet. You can't make a pet out of a wolf. But they'd taken the wolf as a pet and raised it up as a dog, and all the neighbors thought that it was a big dog. And they had him chained, a big chain down behind the garage, and the neighbor family and they said hello to the wolf and patted the wolf. One day they came in from church, the neighbor family did, and had a little old boy. And that little old boy got out of the car and toddled toward that wolf and fell when he got within a striking distance of that wolf and cried out. And immediately the ancestry of that wolf spoke in his soul and said, a hurt animal! And before they could get to that kid, he'd destroyed it. And I went around to see Mickey, and there's no other wolf I ever seen like I saw Mickey. His eyes was different. He stood different, acted different, looked at us. And I said, he's different, man. And she said, I'm going to tell you the truth, preacher. Said, once they've taken somebody down, they're never the same. And they'll always want to do it again. Said, he's got the taste. Said, we've got to keep him by himself as long as he lives. Now, I'm going to tell you, once that wolf in the church takes the preacher down, once that wolf get a taste of spiritual blood, they'll always lurk and hunger to do it again. If he can't do it in a place, he'll do it somewhere else. And he'll always have a pack. He'll always have a pack. Every wolf gathers a pack to themselves. They'll always have a pack. They'll destroy your church, do anything they can. When the wolf fails, there's joy in the flock. I want you to understand, did you ever see a dog get around a bunch of cattle that's got a calf? They'll circle and get them calves in the center. And that's the way the musk oxen will do. And the cattle in the hills when the wolves come, they'll encircle them calves. And when that wolf fails, if ever a wolf fails, them cattle know, somewhere or another they know, and try to kill one of them calves and they fail, it's known that there's joy among them cattle, them musk oxen, that there's joy. Boy, you see in a church some precious little old girl and the wolves get after her. Get out yonder in the street and things happen. And that girl gets under conviction and comes back in and gets on an altar. If the sheep are right, there's always joy in the flock. Some stupid little old uneducated sheep that just may be a wolf say, bless God, I don't appreciate the trash you coming riding the altar. And that's what she'll do. I know she'll do what she done, and she'll do it again. Then I get unsure who the trash is, her or you. If you're right, and the wolf fails, there'll be joy in the flock. Always joy in the flock. Wolves kill one another to keep the pack at the right size. Make no difference, boys, if one of their own gets in the way, they'll cut him down and keep a going. Well, their own pack doesn't mean anything to them. Boy, if you stay in Kentucky, I don't know how long it is down here, boy, you know the spiritual wolf pack. And they are spiritual, it's just another spirit. And one of their own turns against them, and they'll tear him to shreds. If he ever drops out of the pack, if he ever gets in their way, they'll rip him apart and cast him aside. Wolves will fight over their territory. You better believe that. Now, all the wolves like to wallow in a, you ever see a dog wallow in a scent? If you hunters ever been out and seen them find some old dead animal and just wallow and wallow and try to get that smell on. You ever have the church members that they find out something other about the church that happened 10 years ago? And they'll go back and dig that thing up and wallow in it till it stinks all over the church. Oh, yeah. I said they'll wallow in it.
Right.
Every old dead thing they can dig up back under on you or some preacher 15 years ago, they'll dig her up, boys, and every once in a while, right over the dinner table, if you'll go down there and visit them and listen to it, they'll wallow in it and it'll be a stinking mess.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you why dogs and wolves do that. Well, dogs don't really know why they're doing it. But it's instinct in that wolf. He knows that if he's got the scent of a dead animal on him, and he gets close to a musk oxen, that the musk oxen can't smell wolf. All it smells is a dead animal, and it'll go on grazing. Mm-hmm. He's doing it to hide the fact that he's a wolf. Are you getting me now?
You,
I mean, when them folks begin to dig up all them old scents and the waller and them scents, really what they're doing is trying to disguise what they are and trying to take attention off of them and get it on somebody else.
You're right.
Oh, I know I'm right. All right. Wolves do not fight or chase well in water. They just won't hardly fight in the water. Are you getting me? You know what water is in the Word of God, in God's Word? Amen. That moving water's used with the Holy Ghost, still waters the Word of God, and wolves won't fight well around where it's at. You know, now listen to me, preacher. You say, what's that mean to us? Give your sheep and the wolves the steady diet of the Word of God. I want to say to you, members, always love the Word of God. Hold it higher and esteem it more highly than anything else at the house of God.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, there ought to be such a spiritual atmosphere down at the house of God, that old water's so deep that the wolves can't fight it. Now, they'll absolutely, the only way they'll fool around water very much is when it froze over and they'll travel on it then.
Uh-huh.
Now, if it froze over down to a place, if there's no preaching, if your preacher's cold, all he can do is run some little old outline that he got in the mail last week. It has no power, no Holy Ghost in the church, boy. The wolves can travel on that, and they'll all be at your church before very long. Amen. Amen. Wolves can be thrown into fits with water. Rabid wolves can. Amen. Boy, they call you up on that and heart and say, who do you think you are? You know what makes them madder than anything else? You say, the blessed old King James Bible says in chapter so-and-so and verse so-and-so, if they're a rabbit, if they're a mad wolf, it'll throw them in the pit. That's what hydrophobia means, fear of water. That's what being rabbit is. Hydrophobia means fear of water. And the boys, them sheep, them wolves get hydrophobia. They're afraid of water. And boys, you get to carrying on down to the house of God, and they'll say, they ain't no use in all that jumping up and down and carrying on. My granny never did do anything like that. And she's a Christian. What's the matter? They've got hydrophobia. They're afraid of water. They're afraid of water. And if you want to throw them in the fence, just give them more water. Amen. I'll try to hurry on through this. Somebody's already got digestion. Wolves sometimes make trails through an area before they attempt to kill. They'll check everything out. The old man of God was preaching on the anointing of the Holy Ghost and got a bunch of old sisters and men in there, men especially. That'll shout to victory. I want to just say in passing right here, we get more and more and more and more like holiness and charismatic churches all the time. The women's about, they're getting to be about the only ones that does anything to the house of God. Amen. In most churches, if you ain't got a cranker in the church, I mean a woman that'll crank things up on Sunday morning, you can't hardly have nothing at the house of God. Amen. I just thought I'd drop that in. If they come to your place and they find out the ladies are running things, and you all know me, some of you do, and you know my heart. Thank God for spiritual folks in the church. Make any difference to me if you're a woman. I've got some ladies in my church that are spiritual giants that testify every Sunday, and I thank God for them. Amen. But it's a sign of spiritual weakness when the women's at the spiritual forefront in the church. Amen. Amen. Wars will return to old kill sites and dig up bones. Like dig up them old bones, you know. Everything back yonder's happened. I'll tell you what, boy, if that preacher's ever done anything, you say, boy, I got good news this morning, Ethel. So I want you to listen, Ethel, to what I heard this morning. I heard our new preacher. I said that my sister called me from down yonder, up yonder in Asheville. And he used to pastor up there. And did you know 25 years ago, can you believe it? He spoke to a woman at the back door and didn't say hardly the right thing. He said, boys, I'm glad to get to hear that. And they'll dig up all them old bones. And they'll chew on that stuff and chew on it and chew on it. But they'll never remember, preachers. You being at the hospital with them at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting with that little old baby that is dying, and you just drove in from meeting about 500 miles and stayed all night with them and cried and worked and prayed until that little old baby got well, and you shouted victory and hallelujah and gave them money out of your own pocket. A church gave them money out of love only. Get on their feet again. They forgot about all that. They're too busy digging up old bones and chewing on them. Amen, brother. Amen. They got up old bones. Lord God, some of the preachers, greatest heartaches and sorrows, them old bone diggers. Never let anything be buried. Stay buried. They want to keep it dug up all the time. The wolves become quiet and passive in the face of great odds. Come down to the house of God and got about 75 folks shouting. 75 folk are shouting and praising God, and they'll just sit around and smile, and pretty soon they'll get their moving gear and move on out. Amen. Boy, they see somebody for the preacher and three or four whispering against the preacher, and they know that, boys, they're not against great odds, and they'll move in and set up their dens and go to raising young'uns and tearing you apart and tearing you into them. Amen. I've been studying this now for 4 or 5 years, I guess, and every once in a while somebody will send me a little tidbit. And God told me in starting all this out, He said, don't print anything that anybody says is not verified. People's told me things about wolves that, boy, really sounded good. It'd knock you off your seat if I told you, but I didn't know what is true or not. And a lot of them I found out wasn't true. And God said, don't use anything that you don't know to be fact through your own study. Boys, I like that. This old hearsay business on how to kill wolves and all that, you know. And they told me to put blood on a knife and freeze that blood and put that knife out, and he'd keep licking it till he cut his tongue off and he'd lay there and bleed. Boy, it sounds good, you know. The only thing about that is it ain't so. I don't know how many wolves you could kill that way in a year's time anyhow. Now, mountain sheep, and that's what I am. I'm a mountain sheep, in case you, I think y'all might have already got a hint of that. But I'm a mountain sheep. Brother Estes Perkle sent this to me out of a whole article in a magazine, a Nature magazine, and about that much of it. Them mountain sheep, when the wolves get after them, they just move to higher ground. Hey man, that's what I am, a mountain sheep. Now if you want to get rid of the sheep, you get to the ground high enough where they can't breathe good. Are you with me? Where that air gets thin. Boys, if the wolves are bothering you, go to shouting on Sunday and move to higher ground. Take a preacher out to dinner and cry over the meal. Every once in a while, look around at the folks that are serving you and say, glory, hallelujah. Thank God from a preacher and thank God from a church. And wolves will not follow you around all the time. You get to moving to higher ground, they can't breathe. Wolves get after you, move to higher ground. Hallelujah. I'm about to have myself a sheep fit. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad you don't have to stand around and let the wolves eat you up. I'm glad, hallelujah, there's water to run to. I'm glad, thank God, I got a shepherd, and he knows what to do. I'm glad, glory to God. Boys, there's something about the sheep. Boys, that the wolf can't stand when the shepherd's on his toes. Amen to God. I'm trying to cram all this in your brain tonight and get it all in here. The wolf will probably be the first one to invite you home for dinner. You go to a church. You go to a church. Now, I didn't find this in the book, but an old preacher told me. He said, you're writing on the wolves. I want to tell you something. You young preacher, you go to a church, they'll probably be the first ones to invite you home for dinner. Guess who they're going to eat? Amen. Amen. Some of you will think back after a while and you'll realize them had come around and boys are eating you just absolutely, eating you up and slobbering all over you. Boys, in about the 6 months, you found out they're the worst enemies you had. Amen, amen. I've pastored about 8 or 9 churches. You understand some things after you pastored that many and got run off from some. Amen. Wolves can be very friendly to their prey. I mean, very friendly. I think of the man's name. As far as I'm concerned, David Meach, one of the most profound authority on wolves in America. If you've ever seen any educational programs on television about wolves, you saw him, saw what he's done. He's lived with them. He knows. I mean, and did it right. He's a biologist. He has a series on wolves and great books and pictures on wolves. What a work he's done. Boy, he gave me some joy. And them wolves will move into a group of muskoxen. There'll be a whole herd of the muskoxen there. They won't attack them muskoxen. They'll go in and about the width of this building, just lay down. All them muskoxen to watch them. They know what they are. But them little old wolves not going to bother nobody. They just lay down and go to sleep. After a while, muskoxen will say, well, we'll just go picking again. They'll just go to grazing again. And them wolves will get up and move just about this much closer and all lay down and go to sleep again. And them muskoxen will all get afraid and then they'll settle back down again. And after a while, they find out, and even them wolves has even been noticed touching noses with them muskoxen. They get so friendly with them. They say, well, that feller's not going to hurt anybody. I know he's got a bad reputation, but I believe they've been lying on him. You know, he comes in here the other day when the preacher's preaching, he's just waving his handkerchief and just crying.
Yeah.
And them muskoxen, you know, they'll kind of get to grazing watching them sheep, and there'll be a little bunch of them go this way and a little bunch that way, and then wolves will get up and lay down between them. And let's go to sleep again. Friendless little old fellas you ever seen. I mean, when some of you vote, you know, to have a homecoming service and the rest kind of don't want none, you know, them wolves will just get up and lay down between you and say, that mess over there, they've always been troubling. They'll say that bunch. You say that bunch over there, they don't know what's going on with anything. They'll rub noses from both sides. And after a while, them musk oxen will get so careless that they'll stop looking around and be one of them little old calves wander off from the flock. He's dead.
Right.
I want to tell you, when there's wolves in the pack, don't ever take your eyes off of them. And I'm going to tell you, when your preacher's preaching against wolves, you ought to be hollering amen and saying, I don't think he ought to hurt them people's feelings. He's trying to protect the flock. Amen. Wolves will not snarl or growl at their prey. They just attack. Give you no warning of what they're going to do. It'll be done. You get up one morning and one of the deacons got any sense will come to your house and say, oh, preacher, they had a meeting last night.
Yeah.
There was no snarling. There was no growling. You just wake up and realize a bunch of them's dead. Blood all over. the church field. Some heard her, that lady told me, said, if you don't want wolves around, don't set a banquet out. I mean, if you got a cow that's died, don't leave her out. Bury her deep. You understand what I'm saying? If you got little old girls around, I'm going to tell you what, you ought to guard them. You see some stupid wolf coming around, you know, on Sunday morning, and just, you know, he's coming, you know, he's a whoremonger. Amen. He's a wolf! Don't set a banquet out, you lady. A dress and make yourself a banquet for wolves. Amen. Get these little old ball games started in these Christian schools, you know, and start out with good standards, and they go down, 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 down. And after a while, it's nothing but a stinking mess. I don't go away and tell somebody I preached against Christian schools. I didn't do it. Thank God for them. I'm going to tell you, they never ought to never put out a banquet for the wolf.
Yep.
Amen. Any trouble in the church? If there's anything the deacons and the preacher can take care of in the basement of the church, it ought to be taken care of and wiped out of the way. Not brought upstairs and displayed before the whole wolf pack and talk about it on the sinful assembly floor for 2 hours. You're putting out a banquet for the wolf. You say, well, I don't think the preacher and the deacons ought to get off somewhere and discuss church business. I think we all ought to hear about it. God help your silly heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She told me, said, now one of the great things to keep wolves away from the herd is to use a guard dog. Said, you make him mad at wolves, do anything you can. Take a wolf skin and drape it over him and whoop him and drape it over him, get him mad and shake him with that wolf skin, make him mad at everything that smells like a wolf. And she said, now he'll be mean and be some things around the house. Some of the kids might not be able to play with him, but don't kill the guard dog. It'll keep the wolves off the sheep. Had a fella come into my church and one night he'd been a deacon in another church and belonged to every church in the country and came to our church. Said, preacher, I want to join your church. And I said, well, if you like, try it. Just a tad of kin. Well, pretty close kin to me. And y'all aren't going to send these tapes off anywhere, are you? And I wasn't saying that to be funny. I'm serious. And, so he came to me and said, I want to talk to you, preacher. I want to talk to you in the car. And I know back then I was just tired and wasn't thinking. I went on out and got in the car with him. And he said, by the way, if you got a wolf, don't never meet with him privately.
Right.
Amen. Right. Always, don't never meet with a wolf privately. Take one or two with you. If you can, take three tape recorders. Make sure one of them's running. He said, do you know any reason why that I shouldn't be a deacon here at this church? Said, yeah, I know several. The first one is, I don't want you. I said, I guess that'll be enough. So never satisfied. The wolf's never satisfied. He went to running the rounds of my deacons, you know. Some of them deacons sometimes don't want to hurt people's feelings, and they've not been rubbed and beat on and slapped around like the preacher has, and they're not really quick to bite, you know, and they'll just kind of want to rub things in. But he finally kept on till he run into my guard dog. Amen. He got him out in the car too and said, do you know any reason why I shouldn't be a deacon in this church? Randy said, yeah, no, 8 or 10 reasons. One of them is my preacher don't want you, and I don't like you, and I don't like your wife, and she don't know where she wants to go to church, and you're not the master of your own house.
Yep.
And he said, my preacher don't want you, and if he don't want you, I don't want you, and I better never hear of you talking about this again, or I'll get you. Amen. Amen. Boys, if you got a guard dog, I mean, he may kind of be rough around the church, but if he likes the church and likes the preacher, don't kill him. Keep him around. Feed him good on Sunday morning. Amen. Shake that wolf hide in front of him once in a while. Smack him a little bit. Make him mad and say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Guard dogs is right. Some of y'all got guard dogs. I'm going to tell you, you better recognize them for what they are. I mean, They're a little bit rough, kind of. You know, you got sometimes got a feller's really rough. You got to treat him in a special way. You know, use a special chain and a special collar on him. But great day, don't kill him. Amen. Amen. Said, avoid that. The lady told me, said, around wolves, don't avoid eye contact. They don't like that at all. You challenge them. I saw some of those ladies go in, them keepers, them lady keepers. Now, I want you to get this. I didn't even say this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I saw some of them lady keepers go in with them wolves and rub them wolves and touch tongues with them wolves. God help you. Ladies in the church, you hear me? Men in the church, women come around, men come around. You know they're wolves. You live longer than that. You know they're no good. Do not touch them. Do not touch them. Do not touch them. I'm going to tell you something else, boys. They don't like eye contact. One of them comes up to you, boys, and then get you to look off while you talk to him, you know, and say, no, I don't think one of you have you or just look him right now and say, hey, bud, there will not be any of that around here.
Amen.
Am I talking right or not? I know I'm talking. They don't like that eye contact. They won't kind of be shifty on you and say, hey, look at me, bud. I said, there'll not be any of that around here. Amen. Some come to me one night, and he'd already been on me two or three times. I got a special way of running my Sunday school. And he said, I want a class for my boy. He told me two or three times. That third time, you know, I get the temper up. He said, I done told you twice. And I said, hey, he's up behind the pulpit. And like I said last night, I was hot from running. Amen. I said, this is the third time you've told me this. There'll be no changes in the Sunday school department. I do not want to hear anything out of you anymore. One of my deacons heard me and run from the basement. He didn't want to be a witness. He thought something bad is going to happen. It might have if he hadn't shut up and hit the road. Baby wolves. Precious little old pretty baby wolves. You know what that lady said? She said, go ahead and hold them little old wolves if you want to. But she said, they'll grow up after a while and you look down when they won't have no arm. Them little old sins in your life, you know what you're just playing with and petting. Saying, ain't no harm in this. You'll look down after a while. You'll have no influence in the church. No testimony. An uncontrolled, I'll not probably get all this in. I've done preach too long. An uncontrolled imagination in wolf country can be your worst enemy. You can get to imagining things about what they're going to do to your church and do to your congregation. Boy, get you all spooked up. Don't ever do that. You'll say, the shepherd, take care of it all. If you ain't got a shepherd, take care of things, get you one that will. Amen. If you got a wimp for a shepherd, you got the wrong man. Amen. Now, wolves has been seen to rip the womb of the mother open and eat the young little baby in her side. I don't care to take your children out of your home, out of your care. Them little old youngins you've raised up and probably been praying and already testifying. And if they can, they'll turn them against the preacher and against you and take them off down yonder somewhere and get them started into some junk and absolutely devour them right in front of you. Say amen right there. Absolutely. I know what I'm talking about. In the past days, there's a bounty on wolves, and maybe there still should be. I'm a skipping lot. The bigger the game, the more interest it'll create from the past. Big church, more interest. Big treasury, more interest. Big collection, more interest. More young ladies, more interest. The wolf knows the more he travels, the more game he'll find. He'll be more than likely be a drifter, buddy. You see him here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
2 weeks and he'll be down to the First Baptist. Next week he'll be over to Pentecostal. Next week here he'll come back in your church again. Wolves would rather attack on the run, boys, if you can always face a wolf. I just said some of that. Don't never turn your back on him. Don't never run. Don't never say, well, you might be all right now. When that sheep, when that goat, when that musk oxen, that deer turns his back on that wolf, he's a dead animal. Amen.
Right.
Don't ever turn your back on the wolf. Wolf's a great disadvantage running uphill. You ought to be going uphill for God, all of that. Some deer will watch wolves kill another deer with no emotion or interest whatsoever, and I've seen it. The wolf come in the pack and grab one of the deer right next to them and never stop grazing. That little old deer just squeak and holler and carry on and just keep on grazing. Just like it was one of them things that ought to be.
Right.
I don't tell you, when they come in my church and start, I'm going to raise all kinds of noise and sound. Amen.
Right.
I want everybody to know there's a wolf around. If I see a wolf in the church, I'm going to tell everybody. Amen. Well, that's about it. I'm going to howl for you, and then I'll be done. You won't like my howling, but I'm going to howl for you anyhow. My daughter can play the piano better than your daughter! We're spending too much on the preacher and his house, and we've given too many cars. Amen. If you ain't the same kind of Baptist I am, you ain't going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Everybody stand, please. I've given you my heart tonight. I felt especially led to preach what I have preached, and this is not my style. Those of you that know me know that, but it's so very important for me to do what the Holy Ghost wants me to. And if you're here tonight, I don't really know what kind of invitation to give. Maybe some of you preachers need to come and say, God, let me know for sure who the wolves are. Maybe you already know some, and maybe you need to deal with them after tonight. You see that you need to deal with them. Don't never pet a wolf. Don't never. The old wolf hunter said, never pet a wolf. Kill him if he's around you. Don't ever pet him. Some of you realize that wolves are doing damage. That the folks you thought maybe it's part of the sheep flock over there. Part of the wolf flock.